Blog Talk Radio.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can own the latest smartphones for a low monthly payment, and you won't get locked into a pricey long-term contract. Cancel anytime, no penalties. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Blog Talk Radio.
At T-Mobile, we're declaring the end of data limits. Introducing T-Mobile One. One price, all unlimited, for everyone. That's right. Get unlimited 4G LTE data on your smartphone on our network that was built to handle it. And get it at a price that won't break the bank. With four lines of unlimited LTE data for just $35 a line per month with AutoPay. Switch today.
Top 3% of data users greater than 26 gigabytes per month may see reduced speeds until next bill cycle. Video typically streams at 480p with qualifying credit discount via bill credit plus taxes and fees.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and good morning. Give God all the glory and the honor who is first in my life, and to the Spirit of God that abides in his early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation GEN. GELATION. Generation means we have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and the Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. The way we honor the past, we sing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. The way we establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons and junior trustees, and training them in the fear of the Lord and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship, without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blah, talk the radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that brought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal and the robbers can't take and the police can't arrest, and I don't care where you live. Somebody said, that is the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a little while this morning to the book of Luke, and I'm going to begin reading at the first verse. Luke 7:1. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads this, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. But he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And when Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having unto me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And I say to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this and do that, and they do it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that sat then returning to the house, and they found the servant whole that had been sick. That's enough. Let the redeemer of the Lord say amen. This text bothers me just a little bit this morning, because the text simply says that a centurion that is greatly ill comes to Jesus And he comes to Jewish leaders, and the Jewish leaders come to Jesus, and then they appeal. They say, Lord, you ought to do this, and you ought to do that, and you ought to do this miracle because he loves our nation. Mm-hmm. It almost makes it sound like we love him because he loves us, and you ought to do it for me because he built our synagogue. So in the midst of this conversation, they're in actuality trying to convince Jesus to heal the servant based on the merit of his expression of love to them. I'm going somewhere with this. Mm-hmm. And if you read it from the back door, the way I like to read it, and prayerfully by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, I'm going to end up at the front door. It almost sounds and suggests that their love for him is simply because he built their synagogue and he has done some very nice things for them. Oh, you all know the story. We like some folks for just to wear the place they live. Mm-hmm. We like some people just the way they dress. Mm-hmm. We like some folks just because they always doing something for us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll prove it to you. The text says, this man deserves, means merit. He has merited to have this done for him because he loves our nation and he has done some great things for us. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to mess with you just for a little while early this morning and hopefully challenge you and use for a subject, loving for all the wrong reasons. If you will, please turn to somebody early this morning. And if you don't have anyone, just repeat after me, loving for all the wrong reasons. Uh-huh. Well, that was the wrong person. Say it again, loving for all the wrong reasons. Do I have a praying church? My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon a dissection of this text this morning called Loving for All the Wrong Reasons, I'm convinced today, without a doubt in my mind, that many of us have what I call a misconception of love. Mm-hmm. I know I don't have to talk long before I will try to point out to you that many of us just really don't understand what love is. And many of us have diminished love and simply pushed and minimized love to a word and a song to suggest that we love some folks, and many of us don't have the slightest idea of as what it means to love. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I begin to understand when I begin to study this whole deal why Jesus got into so much trouble. Mm-hmm. And I figured it out yesterday that really folks don't want to do what love really is. Oh, I'm going to preach in a minute. Uh-huh. And so, as we begin to look at this, I think it's important early this morning that we be on the same page to understand what the Bible says that love really means. Uh-huh. If you look in 1 John chapter number 3, and the 16th verse, it will help you to understand how love can be defined. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about the characteristics of love. Uh-huh. It says that love is kind, excuse me, patient, and love keeps no record of wrong, and love always thinks the best of a person. Uh-huh. Somebody talk back to me. Those are characteristics of how love is expressed. But if you really want to understand what love is, you have to read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, for there it says, if you need to know what love is, this is what it is. Look at somebody and tell them for me early this morning, this is what it is. For the word of God says, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Uh-huh. Now we have a whole mess of trouble in here this morning, now that we've learned that love is defined in this way. Because it begins to tear down a lot of stuff we accumulated and padded love with. Uh-huh. Because when you and I understand what love is, you understand that it is completely sacrificial. Somebody say sacrificial. Uh-huh. I'll say it again. The word says that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now watch this. Uh-huh. Watch this. So that if I'm willing to lay down my life, then there's nothing that I'm willing and not willing to do for the whole purpose of love. Somebody ought to hear me and hear what I'm saying this morning. Think about it. All the things that separate and divide us Think about all the things that keep us from being connected. Think about all the things that make us fall out and not want to be bothered with one another. Think about all the stuff that keep us hemmed up and cornered and keep us from relating and relationships. Think about all the stuff that keeps us from being on one accord. And then put that in the face of a word that says that love is your ability to lay down your life for your brother or your sister. Somebody ought to say mercy. When you begin to understand this, I say unto you this morning that what argument can't you get over? What disagreement can't you get through? What situation can't you deal with? When you hear the word of God that discloses to us that the power of love is that you are willing to sacrifice your life. Oh, I'm a preacher. There's no point that needs to be proved that much. Can I get a witness? There's no boundaries to what you are willing to go to, and there's no situation that you're not willing to forgive, that you will not even want to deal with, because when you're in the position that you understand that love will make you lay down your life. I tell you this morning, somebody said, listen, now I joined the church and everything, but I don't know about all that. I'm willing to stop doing a few things, but that woman on the radio must be crazy. She and lost her mind. She thinks that I'm willing to die. Watch this. I've already defined love as a sacrifice. Somebody said sacrifice. I know I'm right about it. And so what I'm really willing to do is to give as opposed to simply receive. The power of love is sacrificial. So I'm willing to go beyond the call of duty to reach into my resources that might hurt me and put myself in a position to give. And as I give, I don't have the expectation of receiving anything in return. It's sacrificial. Say sacrificial. Because if I love you, I've got to deal with the fact that you might not love me back. You may not appreciate some of the things I do for you. The fact that I love you with your mean stuff, but I still love you. Why? Because it's sacrificial. Oh, somebody pray for me. And the whole power of this kind of love is that you're willing to lose what you have in the hopes of expressing the love that you got. Well, I know good English. But when you know the real definition and definition of love, what is it that you're not willing to lose when your life is on the line? Oh, I guarantee you, if somebody put a gun to your head early this morning and say, I'll spare your life if you give me X, Y, and Z, or you would be just about willing to give them A, B, C, D, E, F, and all the rest of the alphabet to save your life. Or you would be just about willing to give them all in order to spare your life. Now watch this. If you're willing to give up everything, to spare your life, then what is it that you would keep from or withhold when the Lord has already instructed us that our life is on the line because of the love that you have for one another? I guarantee you this morning, I guarantee you that the love couples express to one another that's been on ice will burn again. For that situation where you can't even get along with some people in the same room, where all the stuff you thought was important, you will put on the back burner. And isn't it funny, my brothers and sisters, it's not until a person dies that we think about how much we love them. I'm going to put a quarter in the meter right there. Now, when the Lord has already called us to a place, not when they die, but he's asking us to be willing to die to them in the spirit while they're living. And so we found out that love is sacrificial. Somebody said sacrificial. And I stopped by early this morning to tell you it's also selfishness. Somebody said selfishness. For it's not about what I'm going to receive, and it's not about what I'm going to get. And it's not about what I'm going to feel, what I'm going to feel all the time. I just look at God. Not only was he sacrificial, but the fact that he gave the best, already knowing ahead of time that you and I wasn't going to appreciate it. I don't act all cute this morning and holy because you're sitting in church all dressed up, because the whole time he was trying to get your attention
You wasn't even paying attention.
Mm-hmm. The whole time he was trying to talk to you, you wasn't listening, I wasn't listening. But the word of God says to us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Excuse me, in other words, he didn't wait for you to accept it. He didn't wait for you to say thank you. He didn't wait for you to say, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for saving my life. But he did. But what he did, just because he loved us. Somebody said, just because. Now, before I close, let me tell you a secret about love. Because you love God and love out of a resource that you don't have on your own, because if it had not been for the Lord and the love of God, I couldn't love some of y'all. Some of y'all couldn't love me. But instead of looking for love back from man, God says if you get a reward from man, you get nothing from me. But if you make the sacrifice and love somebody and they not love you back like I love them, I hear God saying, whatever they don't do, good God Almighty, I'll make up the difference. You hear me this morning? And you speak to folks and they don't speak back. God told me to tell you this morning, he'll make up the difference. If they talk about you and you pray for them, God says, I'll make up the difference. They stab you in the back and you say, Lord, bless them anyhow. God told me to tell you early this morning, he will make up the difference. Tell somebody he'll make up the difference. Yes, he will. I'm going to get out of here. I got to preach this morning and move this train. So the power of this love thing is when you make the sacrifice and don't be selfish and mean it with your whole heart and all of your mind, whether you love me back. I stopped by to tell you earlier this morning, you will never outbe God-giving. For the more you give, the more he gives to you, because you understand the word sacrifice. For you see, I may have given in Philadelphia, but there's no guarantee I'm going to get it back there. You may have given in the state of Georgia, but there's no guarantee that you're going to get your blessing back in Georgia. You might get it on I-95. I have a pact with God. When I mess up, the devil said to my Heavenly Father, I told you he or she was no good. Wipe her out. But Jesus said, we had a disagreement, but I still love her. We didn't see eye to eye, but I still love her. She's hard-headed sometimes, but I still love her. I'm disappointed in her actions and reactions, but in my heart is broken, but I still love her. Oh, glory to God. Some of y'all funny. If you disagree, you sit on the other side of the church. Oh, yes, you do. If you don't agree, then you stop coming to church, some of y'all. But that's what I like about God, and that's why I call this sermon Loving for All the Wrong Reasons. Listen, love calls for you to be able to take the bullet. That don't mean tell all of your business, and you don't have to become over familiar with people. But what it means is that you have to be able to take a bullet every now and then and make the sacrifice of getting your feelings hurt, being the eyeball. For the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You and I have to be open and be an open target for love. For every time I stand behind this pulpit, I'm taking a bullet. Every time I call on the name of Jesus, I'm taking a bullet. Every time I call your name in prayer, I'm taking a bullet. But the greater, the greater part that I like is that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, I don't just want you to love me, but I want you to love one another, because if y'all would just think about it, if you would kill each other when there's no one else to kill, then you turn around and kill me. That's why you need to be careful who you talk to and how you talk about folks. But when they have nobody else to talk about and kill, you're next on the list. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm not talking about love just to make you happy for the moment. I'm talking about love so you can do what God has assigned to your hand. I'm trying to finish. That's what I like about God. He puts himself out there, and the power of his death on the cross, and that he made himself a sacrifice for you and I. And the power of that is that when I wasn't ready to die, he was willing to die for me. And I want you to understand he loved you and I so much. I mean, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I need you to understand, when God made that sacrifice, it wasn't because you put yourself up and you're all of that in the bag of chips. When he made that sacrifice, you wasn't even worthy to say that you wasn't even worthy. But thanks be unto God that he didn't wait for you and I to get ourselves together, but he went and saved us and put our name on the Lamb's Book of Life when we confess. He knew he was putting that love out there, and he knew he was taking a chance. I thank the Lord this morning that he was willing to put himself on the line just for me. I feel like Paul put it this way. Paul said, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he took upon him the form of a servant." Paul says he emptied himself, and he made himself open to all, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And now God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Somebody shout glory. Every day is sweeter than the day before, because I know he loved me. He's made a sacrifice for me and looked behind my faults and met my needs anyhow. And he took my situation and fixed me in spite of who I was. And he didn't think about where I live and how I felt, but he saw how bad I needed him. Somebody say, "I need you, Lord, and I'm standing in need of prayer right now." Oh, I like to testify early this morning before we close, because when I look at myself, I see love. I'm loved by the one who puts the stars in the silver recite. Yes, I am. I'm loved by the one who said, "Let there be light," and it was. I'm loved by the one who said, "Son, you take the day shift, and moon, you take the night shift." And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul magnify the Lord. I better not get too excited. I got a full day today, but as I close, I'm going to try to close this time for real, y'all. I see you on the computer. I believe Dr. Luke left this story. He left the story recorded by the power of the Holy Spirit to teach you and I not to love for the wrong reasons. Because Luke says a certain centurion servant was sick unto death, and one day, When he heard about Jesus, he sent the elders of the Jews that didn't love Jesus to heal his servant. And when they arrived, they tried to convince Jesus the man deserves this, and the man merits this because of the deeds that he has done in our church. And the Bible says Jesus went with them, and when he was almost there, the man met Jesus halfway to tell him, "Nah, Jesus, you don't have to go no further. Don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy, and that's why I didn't come myself. But I feel that the roof of my house is not good enough for you, Jesus. And because I am a man of authority myself, I tell folks to go, and they go, and I tell them to stop, and they stop. But in all my elevation, I haven't forgotten where the Lord has brought me from, for I still know how to love." And the man was saying to Jesus, "I don't want you to heal him because he's my servant. And he'll be able to work again. I don't want you to heal him because he would decrease my employee list. I don't want you to heal him because he helped build our synagogue. I don't want you to heal him because he gives good money and he pays the most tithes in the church. I don't want you to heal him because he's faithful on Sunday and he's the one to open up the church and I don't have to get up early in the morning. Listen, I don't want you to heal him because he feeds me when I'm hungry and brings me breakfast in the morning and lunchtime. Listen, I don't want you to heal him because he keeps me good company. But Jesus, good God Almighty, I want you to heal him because I love him. And the value, the love from a human being from heart to heart and breast to breast, I'm willing to lay down my authority just as long as my servant is healed." And the Bible says Jesus was well pleased and turned the man around and said to the people that followed him, "For he has great faith, and he's not loving for all the wrong reasons." I stopped by early this morning for some of us and to let you know that we are loving for the wrong reasons. Love God because he woke you up this morning, not because you have a new house. Love God for he brought you from a mighty long way, and not for what he can do for you. Love your sisters and your brothers the way this man loved his servant. And there I pray unto you, you will be loving for all the right reasons and not all the wrong reasons. Loving for all the wrong reasons. Stand to your feet. Maybe there's one here this morning that don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. Then I introduce to some and present to others his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Come on, you can do it. Somebody say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in your blood and cleanse me from all unrighteousness and save my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now, if you meant what you said and said what you meant, God has done just what you asked him to do. You're saved. And now you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to find a church that's not only preaching the word of God, but practicing the word of God, that your soul may grow thereby. Now, remember, there's no perfect church, and there's no perfect pastor, male or female. And if it was, when you arrived, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. Just stay there and hear the word of God, that you'll find out the reason why he even, listen, love you so much in spite of everything that you and I have done. And find the assignment that is assigned to your hands and work while it's day. For when the night cometh, no man can the world. Listen, happy birthday, Mother Clara Neal, celebrating 80 years today. Hallelujah. And Madison, Illinois, may God bless you real good this morning. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher. Until next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., may the God I serve bless you real good.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you love the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
Imagine 65% more. Thank you, thank you, thank you. With exceptional gifts at up to 65% off at Simon Premium Outlets, you can do up to 65% more giving this holiday. Simon Premium Outlets, exceptional brands at up to 65% off.
At St. Augustine Premium Outlets, don't miss the Give It All sale. Each weekend from December 1st through the 18th, enjoy extra special offers on your favorite gifts from accessories and jewelry to toys and electronics. Up to 65% off means up to 65% more giving. St. Augustine Premium Outlets, a Simon Center.
It's time for some straight talk. Some wireless companies offer free phone deals. Sounds pretty sweet until you find yourself locked into a pricey long-term contract. Not so free after all. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can own the latest smartphones for a low monthly payment, and there's no contract. Cancel anytime, no penalties. Check out our wide selection of the latest smartphones at Walmart. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
This is a lease-to-own transaction. Customer will not own the device until all payments are made. Please see terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.